We love you. God bless.
There's a lot of division in our nation, and some of it revolves around race. It would be helpful, though, if we all realize that every human being is a part of the human race. Moreover, my life and your life have value, not because of our race, ethnicity, social status, wealth, looks, or ability. Our lives have value because each one of us is created in the image of God. If we all realize this, we can value and respect each other despite our differences.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last week, actually 2 weeks ago, we began a sermon series on critical race theory and its implications. And we asked the question last week, is slavery America's original sin? And this comes from the 1619 Project. But you probably have heard politicians trumpeting this. I've heard Joe Biden mention this, that slavery is America's original sin. And when you listen to the people that are promoting the 1619 Project, and even the 1619 Project themselves, you would think that slavery was invented in America, that we are the ones that were the ones that actually started slavery. In fact, there was actually a U.S. senator, Senator Kaine, who actually was, I believe, the vice presidential candidate under the Hillary Clinton campaign. He actually recently said that slavery didn't come to America, but we actually invented it. Of course, you know, we actually studied and read from the Bible last week about the first recorded history of slavery, and that was the slavery of Joseph, where his brothers sold him as a slave. Of course, Joseph was not in America. He wasn't sold as a slave in America, and he wasn't a black person either. You see, slavery really is a human condition of sin. It's a result of the human condition of sin. And really, throughout history, slavery has existed, and it hasn't been just one race ruling over another race. There have been blacks that have owned other blacks. There have been whites that have owned blacks. There have been blacks that have owned whites. There have been Indians that have owned other Indians, or have owned whites, or have owned blacks. There have been whites who have owned whites. And so what we're dealing with here is we're dealing with sin. But from a website, classroomlaw.org, there's an article entitled The 1619 Project and the 400-year American Legacy of Slavery. And in this, the actual article starts out in August 1619, a ship arrived at the Jamestown colony in Virginia, and the first slaves transported from Africa were forced onto the shore of what would become the United States of America. Thus began a 400-year legacy of slavery, oppression, institutionalized racism, a corrupted constitution, a traumatized and bloody civil war, the assassination of a president, a culture embedded with inequality and injustice, and a struggle to understand our own history and what was our future and what our future can be as a country. We actually went over the 1619 Project last week, and you can actually view that video, listen to that sermon on our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle. We actually did discuss that actual 1619 project. And in fact, that first slave ship, by the way, the slave ship was not coming to America, what would become America. It wasn't that people that lived here were contracting with someone to bring slaves to our nation. What had happened was there was a Portuguese ship that had slaves on it that was out in the ocean near Virginia. And two British ships actually came aboard that Portuguese ship, and there was a lot of piracy that was going on then. They actually took captive the 19 slaves that were on that ship. They were brought ashore, and what happened is they were made indentured servants here in America, and they served for a period of time, and about 7 years. They were then released, and they were given land. Now, that, by the way, according to classroomlaw.org, is the beginning of slavery. It actually was not the beginning of slavery. What was the beginning of slavery was one of those indentured servants was named Anthony Johnson. Now, Anthony Johnson actually was successful. He got to where he owned 250 acres of land, and he would actually spend his own money to bring slaves from Africa. He would make them indentured servants. They would serve him for a period of 2 years, or excuse me, 7 years. He would release them and give them land. And he had one slave or one indentured servant who was excessively lazy, so he actually went to the court and he sued for the right to own this man for the rest of his life. He said, "There's no way I'm going to be able to recoup the amount of money it cost to bring this slave here and to feed him and care for him. He's so lazy, I can't recoup that cost in 7 years." He was then given the right to own this man for the rest of his life. So again, that's the beginning of slavery in America. A black man who was a former indentured servant suing to make one of his indentured servants that he had contractually agreed to release after 7 years, suing to make him his own slave. That's the beginning of slavery in America. Now, that is the actual, we talked about that first ship that landed in Virginia. And by the way, you may recall, we talked about it last week, but if you've learned Christian, the history of America and really the foundation of the Christians that came to America to establish religious liberty, you'll know that Virginia colony was not established on religious liberty. That Virginia colony was actually established not only on religious liberty, but it was established for profit. And those what happened there was different than what happened when the second ship actually landed. The second ship landed in Plymouth, where the Pilgrims were. And the Pilgrims, according to biblical principle, set the slaves free and imprisoned those who were engaging in the slave trade. And again, that's according to biblical principle. You probably haven't heard that from the 1619 Project. In fact, that's something they don't want you to know because it doesn't fit the narrative that everyone in America was seeking to oppress blacks and was seeking to to own blacks and to actually oppress them and to further slavery. If you listen to the 1619 Project, this country was actually founded for the purpose of perpetuating slavery, an institution that they claim we actually created. Of course, the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we're going to share some truth with you today. We've already shared some truth with you, but we're going to continue to share truth with you. Last week, we actually looked at the very first instance of slavery in recorded history, and that was the slavery of Joseph. And again, Joseph, when his brothers came to him and God had set him up as the second in command in the nation of Egypt, and his brothers came to him, Joseph could have legally put his brothers to death. He could have done whatever to them, and actually not only legally, but biblically, the law of God wasn't created at that point yet. But later, and we'll study this, we probably won't get into it today, but we'll study this, the biblical penalty for kidnapping someone else, which is really what happened to Joseph. He was kidnapped by his brothers. He was then sold as a slave by his brothers. The law of God had not been actually revealed at that point. But later, when it was revealed, the biblical penalty for kidnapping was actually the death penalty. So kidnapping carried the same penalty as murder. Rape also carried the death penalty as well. We mentioned last week that slavery, even though Joseph was the first recorded instance that we have in history, that slavery probably did exist before that. It was clear that really from the text that slavery did exist because Joseph's brothers knew that they could actually sell him as a slave. And the traders knew that they could buy someone as a slave and then take him to another place and sell him for more money. And they not only knew that, but they knew what they could get for him when they got to that place, and that's how they were able to base what they gave the Joseph's brothers for him. But we'll also see, and by the way, Joseph, as you know the story, Joseph did not execute his brothers. He did prove them. He made them prove that they had repented, and he set up a clever plot that actually set them up in a position where they would have to defend his younger brother and be willing to lay down their life for their younger brother, something that they would not do for him. He made sure that they had repented, and when he knew that they had repented, he revealed himself to them. And they were shaking in their boots. They were scared. They knew that this man was the second in charge in Egypt and could put them to death. And they knew what they had done to him, and they feared. But Joseph, rather than playing the pity party or, you know, going around playing a victim and talking about all the bad things that had happened to him, and you just don't know how difficult my life had been. And by the way, his life was difficult. He was a slave. He was thrown into prison. He had really, you know, every potential that he could have complained, he could have complained. He could have grumbled, but he didn't. He was faithful in his service. He was faithful in his service to Potiphar. He was faithful even in prison, and God still blessed him even in that. And he knew that God had raised him up to the position that he had raised him up for the preservation of the very young nation of Israel, this nation that Joseph and his brothers would become the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he told his brothers, this happened so that you can actually, so that our posterity can be protected, because otherwise we would die. You guys would starve. You would starve to death. There's 5 more years of famine that is going to happen. And so what happened was, we know that Joseph and his brothers and his father came there to Egypt. He was reunited with his dad. We know that his dad actually did pass away. And when his dad passed away, his brothers came to him again, and they made up a story that his dad had made them promise, or had promised, you know, that they should actually be protected. And Joseph again tells them, this, don't feel bad about what you did. I mean, he made sure that they had repented, but he also said, God sent me here. He realized there was a purpose, that he was sent there so that Israel could be saved. But what happened is that the children of Israel were following the commandments of God to be fruitful and multiplying, and God was blessing them. God was giving them many children, and over time, Joseph died, his brothers died, but what happened was their posterity multiplied and continued to multiply. And we'll read in Exodus chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, and Joseph died and all his brothers in that generation, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he did, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war, that they join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duty of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birthstools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all the people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast in the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So here we see the very first instance of a nation being brought into slavery. And it wasn't just part of the nation, it was the entire nation that was brought into slavery. Now, note that the Israelites were not from Africa. They were not African, of African descent. They were not black, as some would say. They were Jewish people. They were the beginning of the Jewish nation, and at this point, they were a mighty people, even though they were living in another country, and they were serving as slaves. They were put into slavery. By the way, the Egyptians were Africans. They were blacks, and they actually enslaved Jews. As we've said, as I've said, slavery isn't a racial issue. Certainly in America, most of the slaves were blacks. Most of the owners were whites. But there also were actually Indians that owned both Indians. They also owned blacks and they owned whites. There were blacks in America that owned black slaves. There were blacks that owned white slaves. There were Indians that owned white slaves. Slavery was not just, even in America, was not just a racial issue. And here in Egypt, the very first instance of slavery, we see a black nation actually oppressing the Egyptians, or excuse me, the Israelites, the Egyptians oppressing the Israelites who were not black. So we see a black nation oppressing a nation that is not black. And this is the actual very first instance of a nation being taken as a slave. And probably, really, throughout history, has there ever been an entire nation that has been taken as slaves? Now, we do know that the slaves that came to America and that also went, by the way, they didn't just come to America. They also went all throughout the world. In fact, a very small portion of those slaves that came out of Africa actually came to America. Most of them went elsewhere. We'll talk about that and actually show them. By the way, that's not something that the 1619 Project will tell you. Another thing they won't tell you is that these slaves became slaves because other Africans enslaved them. Other Africans kidnapped them and actually sold them to black Muslim slave traders or to Portuguese slave traders or to Spanish slave traders who actually brought them to different parts of the world and sold them. It doesn't make slavery right. It doesn't make the fact that we did have slaves in America right. It was a sin. Slavery is a sin. Racism is a sin. But we need to realize that it's not just based on race. It's based on control. And here, the Egyptians feared the children of Israel. Why? Because they were being fruitful. They were multiplying. They were obeying God. They were allowing God to bless their wombs. The Bible says that children are a blessing. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. That's a military term. The quiver would be what you draw your arrows out of. There's even some people that talk about and looking at the biblical principle, having arrows, having children that are like arrows that can actually do damage to the enemy, Satan's kingdom. There's even a man who, a family that lives on our street that actually has a sticker on the back of their van that they're raising arrows for God. Today, many people don't look at children as a blessing, but children are a blessing. Not just one, not just two, children are a blessing, and we should be willing to open up. You know, if the children of Israel, if the Jewish people had been like most Christians in America today and only had one or two children, the Egyptians wouldn't have feared them. The Egyptians probably would have outnumbered them. But because they were being fruitful, they were multiplying, their nation, they were becoming more numerous than the Egyptians, and the Egyptians feared them. And so they put them into slavery, and then they kept multiplying. And so they started serving over them with rigor. And the more rigorous they served over them, the more they multiplied. And then Pharaoh actually tells the midwives, and we don't know exactly how many people were the nation of Israel made up at that point. And again, they really kind of weren't a nation yet because they were living in another country. They didn't have their own land, their own borders. But we don't know how many they were, but we know when they came out of Egypt, there were over 1 million. There were 2 midwives. They must have been really busy. Can you imagine 2 OBGYN doctors delivering all the babies for over 1 million people, million population? But Pharaoh orders them to actually kill the male children, and they refused to do so. They honored God more than the word of the king, and they even put their own lives at risk. And then Pharaoh says that what you should do when you have a child, if he's a male, put him in the water. But if he's a girl, you can keep the girl. If it's a girl, you can keep the girl alive. And this, by the way, is the backdrop that Moses was born into. And of course, Moses' message was, let my people go that they may serve me. The truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God wants you to be set free, and to be set free, you need to know the truth. Unfortunately, you won't get the truth from the 1619 Project. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
There's a lot of division in our nation, and some of it revolves around race. It would be helpful, though, if we all realize that every human being is a part of the human race. Moreover, my life and your life have value, not because of our race, ethnicity, social status, wealth, looks, or ability. Our lives have value because each one of us is created in the image of God. If we all realize this, we can value and respect each other despite our differences.
We praise you, for you are so worthy, Lord. Lord, you're worthy. You're so worthy. Lord, you